And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Good morning. If you're just after joining us, we're all back to normal now again. Thanks very much for all of you getting in touch in the last hour. Coming up a little later on, we have got Michael and Fionnuala in, of course. That's entertainment, but also a very special guest, actually, in the form of Jason Quigley. Jason is in training, obviously, for a big fight coming up next month. But of course, he'll also be very interested in what is happening in the Three Arena on Saturday night. And that is Katie Taylor's long-awaited homecoming. She is in a really tough fight on Saturday night. So lots of you out there will be watching. It's one of those kind of events that even if you aren't a big boxing fan, that you would probably find yourself tuning into it in one form or other. So we'll see what Jason Quigley thinks of the card in general and Katie's chances against her really, really tough opponent. That's coming up as the show progresses. But I do want to get to some of your comments here now. Suzanne is correct. There's been 2 months' consultation with Santry residents before yesterday's announcement to open a refugee accommodation centre there, along with Clondalkin and Dunleary. Unfortunately, some groups demand greater consultation in order to mount a stronger protest. Another: the statement by the senator that there is consultation is nonsense. The statement that people are wrong to be concerned about a lack of vetting is disingenuous. There is a cultural difference to factor in. The one thing I'll just say about the cultural differences, if you don't mind, is that we are a multicultural society in this country as well. There are people of all different cultures that have been living here for decades, and they work in really senior positions in different parts of society, in all parts of society. So we heretofore, even with the presence of different cultures, and there's really strong differences between people that we've contended with in this country for many, many, many generations, as you might know what I'm talking to, and we've always found a way to get on. But this person seems to think there could be an increase in certain types of crime. Okay, thanks for that. Greg, just like the way the government would not listen to the people about water charges, people had to take to the streets once again. The people are not being listened to. Government has to listen to genuine concerns that people have. The issue is there is no limitation to the people coming. The men arrive and the next thing is their families and other relatives are here. Leo and his colleagues don't realise they're changing the entire culture of this country. If I visit Saudi, I obey their culture. Here they arrive and the next thing is I'm obeying their culture. But where is the evidence of that? Again, I'm like everybody else just working through all of this. But where is this? What is Ireland's culture? How do you define that? There's so many of us of different backgrounds. Do you believe that we'll all end up being of a different faith or something? I mean, what is the faith in this country now anyway? And as I say, that's a question, not a counterpoint to you. Like, what is it you're actually afraid of happening? The government is not addressing the problems, believe this listener, but they fairly got it in order when we had the pandemic. Never seen a vaccine rollout so quick. That was a mega crisis globally, and this is the knock-on effect from our pandemic. Greg, would you keep quiet and let Eamon McGee speak and that lady senator? They know what they're talking about. I'm a frequent listener and participator in Highland, but I feel the conversation about people seeking refuge this morning is very worrying. Violence is being accepted because people are frustrated. Violence should never be tolerated. There is zero tolerance of violence. And I'm sorry if it's come across like that. Been very clear to separate the different things that are going on in this country, and grouping them in is where the problem is because then we can't have a conversation, and we have to, because what we're doing up until now in terms of not conversing with each other, you could argue, is not working. There is no, I've not heard one person except anonymous people on Twitter say anything other than anything that is violent or puts people's lives in danger is completely and utterly wrong. And this program doesn't have a leaning one way or other, whether it's one, not in terms of those actions. I'm on about in terms of the broader conversation, what is right or wrong. We're here to sort of try and host a conversation. As I say, I'm just a normal person and I'm just trying to work through this. I'm pretty in the middle. I don't think I'm lean in any particular political direction, to be honest with you. Fair play to the lady speaker, Suzanne. She is so right. Another: brilliant, Greg, asking questions the politicians don't want asked, and they're giving bluff for our ears. People are awakened, but unfortunately that's not enough. Greg, you seem to be about 2 minutes away from the very fine people on both sides argument. Violence against these people is completely unacceptable. The fact that Irish people are treating immigrants like this makes me despair. It seems that some people need to learn their history. I'm nowhere near that argument whatsoever, by the way. It's not being housed. They're getting everything handed into their hands for free. Facts down to being turned around. Percent. That's the angering thing. Greg, why do local communities have to be consulted about refugees coming to their areas? The argument being, and this is not my argument, the argument being is that if you consult with them, that they're best placed to say, these are our facilities, these are our services, these is realistically what we could accommodate with their best interests and our best interests at heart. I presume that's what the consultation looks to achieve. But clearly, maybe it delays things too long and the government doesn't engage in that, because if you enter, and I think the senator referenced this, into a consultation, you could find yourself never being able to actually progress. Another caller says, this coalition government was voted in by the Irish people to represent the will and needs of the country. We, the taxpayer, are paying the piper for this government to spend on what they want without consultation. We don't have any room left. When something is full, it will hold no more. This government changes and makes laws to control and penalise the citizens. When the real agenda behind all this is eventually exposed, we will be pulling the hair out of our heads in desperation because we kept quiet and let it happen. I don't know what you believe the actual real agenda is, but anyway. Senator Pauline on your Friday panel has been brilliant for backing up the Clare protesters' fears. Really shows what a total shambles the leadership of this country is. Another, the strong feeling comes from men who are arriving here from countries where women and children hold no respect or value. They think it's acceptable to talk and treat women in this country the same way. Valueless, believes that listener. Thank God you finally have someone on in Suzanne Rogers who speaks the truth. Another, I live in Letterkenny and a lot of my Irish neighbours have had to move away and now I'm surrounded by foreign people who barely speak English and I'm supposed to just accept that this is the way it is. I've become the minority in my own little area. What's the rest of the country like? Another, many of these men are not wandering around towns. Many are staying in the allocated accommodation and trying to live under the radar. Where is the threat from them? Evidence proves that after the initial fears, weeks into them remaining in place, there was no increase in any antisocial issues. And that is the information coming from Angada Síochána in Donegal as well. What about an incident in our area where a man only recently brought into town, not an Irish native, he was caught by locals while videoing children in school playgrounds. People are terrified of these strangers. But that happens all the time, unfortunately. I mean, look what was happening in leisure centres. These weren't foreign people that were in violating people's privacy and what have you. Morning, Greg. The numbers of foreigners coming to Ireland needs to be capped. Far too many being let in with no extra facilities being set up, not enough guards, doctors, school places, etc. for our own people, never mind migrants, they say. And on it goes. A lot of them overlap, but we'll try and get through as many of them as we can as this morning progresses, with a view to sort of having a constructive conversation. But as I say, we have hundreds and hundreds of comments coming in here, but we've an awful lot to fit in because it is a Friday. As I say, coming up later on, we'll try and ease into the weekend, and we'll have Michael and Fionnuala in studio, and as I say, Jason Quigley, all going to plan, will be joining us as well to preview the weekend's boxing action in Dublin. And you don't get to say that very often with everything that was going on in this country for a long time, but we are able to talk about a big boxing event back in Dublin. Many people thought it would not happen so quickly, but here we are. And also maybe get an update on how his preparations are going for his big fight coming up next month. Okay, residents opposed to plans to develop 8 apartments on a site in the Glencar area of Letterkenny say they will take their case to Onboard Planala if it is needed. The concerned residents had a meeting this week and they'll lodge an objection with the Donegal County Council against the proposed development at the corner of College Farm Road. Niall O'Donnell is chair of this group. Niall, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself chair.
Well, I'm a Letterkenny man, Greg, and I was born in Ardodonnell, in the Burma, as it's commonly known. And I've been working in Letterkenny for 43 years in the post office. All my friends are in Letterkenny. We keep in touch from childhood, from going to school days and stuff like that. And I just love Letterkenny and I love the people. I was heavily involved in the Letterkenny reunion down through the years, and I'm still interested in that, and I keep an eye on what's happening. I love talking to people who come back. I love talking to people anyway. I love talking, as many of my friends will tell you. I never shut up. But how did I become involved in this? Well, I live in Glencar, on the road, on the Glencar Road, and I was elected chair at an objection meeting a couple of weeks ago to this development.
And the residents from Hawthorne Heights, College Farm Road, Wolftone Road Place, New Line Road and Glencar Road, there's representatives from all of those areas that
all
attended this meeting
there,
on this group.
As far as Fernhill and Solomon's Court and Ashley Court, they're all represented at the meetings, and they have been various people from all those areas attended two meetings, one last week and one last night.
Right. Now, this proposed development is on a just short of an acre, a 0.8-acre site. Mm. It's the former residence of the O'Callaghan family.
That's
for
right.
People in the area.
Yeah.
And what used to sit on that site was a former bungalow-style house. It was demolished a few years ago, and since then, the site has lay vacant.
Mm.
But there have been other proposed developments for this site, and there have been objections to that as well. So what are the issues for locals then?
The issues are that this is a quiet road. It's all bungalows. All the people living in the Glencar Road are mostly bungalows. Wolftone Place is there. It was a council estate built in the 50s. It's a residential area. It's a quiet area, but it has become very, very busy. If you know the area, there's roads coming down from College Farm Road onto the Glencar Road right at that site. There are roads coming up from the college and six different schools just meeting at that site because they're turning back down New Line Road. The New Line Road comes up and meets the Glencar Road outside the site. And the Glencar Road itself is very busy because you have traffic coming down from the Gaelscoil and Glencar. You have traffic coming up and turning round down New Line Road or going on up the Glencar Road just at that site. It's a bottleneck. Now, that's not just at school times. During the day, it's a very, very busy road.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of traffic, a lot of cars, a lot of buses. You want to see the buses there, especially at school times.
Okay, so my understanding
there's
is...
There's also pedestrian traffic. Mm. A lot of kids walking down to the college and the convent.
Yeah.
And they're up and down, and I see them all the time passing my own house. So the pedestrian traffic, there have been three deaths on that road over the years of children.
Mm.
Three children were killed on that Glencar Road. And, you know, it's a very busy junction.
Okay, now, pardon my ignorance, but given how busy this road is, what concerns do you have that eight apartments might make? Even if each apartment have two cars, it's 16 vehicles.
Well, first of all, the eight apartments are not in keeping with the residential area.
Mm, but we were talking about the traffic side of things, and then we'll get...
That's one argument.
Yeah.
There are more arguments than there's just the traffic. I mean, eight apartments in a point... Think about it, 0.8 of an acre, and you have eight apartments, no room for parking cars, can't possibly be if you build eight apartments, two-storey buildings, no two-storey buildings on that road, either up College Farm Road or up the Glencar Road on the same side where that site is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
is there a sense
out of sync.
Is there a sense also that this could, because it's out of sync with the area in your view, that this could be the thin edge of the wedge? In other words, that if this... type of development was allowed to progress in that area, that it would see a daisy chain effect, and it would change the entire...
That's a very good point. And here that you've hit the nail on the head, Greg. I want to say, first of all, that we're not opposed to development or to the provision of houses, private houses, social housing. We are not, and that was made very clear at the meetings. There's great social housing has been provided in this town over the years, and great private housing developments by different builders. They were all needed, and this must continue in a fast-growing town like Letterkenny. We must welcome development and encourage investment in the town, but not at the expense of contravening any planning laws that there are, and this clearly, and traffic laws, and this clearly contravenes the Donegal Council, County Council planning laws.
But that is your, with respect, Niall, and as I say, I'm saying this with respect, the developer, I'm sure, would argue that this will not get planning permission unless it complies with planning regulations.
I don't, let me tell you something. I was involved in the last objection in 2008, where the guy wanted to build 29 apartments in that same site, cut it down to 19 to try again, cut it down eventually to 11, and then things went belly up and he went bust. So it didn't happen. But the Donegal County Council passed that application in 2008. I don't know, the Donegal, you see, if I look for planning permission for a house out the road, Greg, or if I look for a planning permission for a house, a site in the town, I have all sorts of hoops to jump through to get that planner permission. And the planning officers will examine very carefully all the things that I have on my little plan for my little house.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll turn me down very quickly if it isn't up to the planning laws that there are. Now, the planning laws for Donegal County Council clearly states that this kind of development is not acceptable in a residential area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's there's no question here. There's no big mystery here. This guy wants to build 8 apartments in a 0.8 of an acre. It is totally contravening the planning
in
laws
your,
of Donegal.
In your view.
No, not in my opinion.
Yeah, but it is. No, I have to
not
say.
In
not,
my
no,
opinion.
No,
Greg,
no,
hold
no,
on a
no, but no, you don't, so no, you're not liable if anything is said inaccurately. I am. I understand
right.
that's your point of view,
that's
okay?
That's my point of view, but that
I
is
also
the County Council plan.
Yes, but if it is afforded planning permission, then it does comply with the planning regulations. And you're perfectly entitled to your view, but I also have to state that no one here is knowingly or willfully contravening the planning laws. I just have to be very careful. But you have your opinion, and that is perfectly fine. What about the argument being made that this is a prime site, residential site, that Letterkenny is growing really, really fast? Maybe Letterkenny does have to change, but that we need accommodation, and here's 8 units of accommodation on a prime site.
Okay.
You know, you're holding back development.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Here's the problem, Greg.
Yeah.
On the road that I'm living on, starting with that very site and up the College Farm Road in that surrounding area, on the road I'm living on, just up to the top of the Glencar Road, not the whole way up, there are 10 bungalows, and the people living in those are either widows or widowers, and they're all in their 80s and some in their 90s. Now, they are also, because of the time they were built, they were big sites, at least as big as this one, if not bigger. The fear I have, and the fear that the objection group have, is this guy comes along and he builds 8 apartments, and you're saying, okay, we need housing and blah, 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 and it's great to
but
have.
But next thing it has, next door goes
happens,
up for sale, and so on.
And I know, I'll tell you, in the next 5 to 10 years, a number of those houses on the Glencar Road will be coming up for sale.
Yes, I get you. Okay.
So that's what we're afraid of. This is going to set a precedent for further development up the road,
we
and
reference
we don't
that.
Want that.
Now, I think, you know, in terms of previous developments being allowed there by the council, you're probably expecting the council to give permission for this when they make their announcement in June. So with that in mind, you are already committing to raise your concerns with On Board Planala if need be,
absolutely, yeah. We're actually raising funds at the moment. The residents are. Now, we're representing about, so far, and I think there's more to come on board, because there's another problem further up the road where a developer is building 300 houses, you know, on an already very busy place up there. And I know that those people are supporting this. So, yeah, we're going to raise funds and we're going to take this to the bitter end. We're also hiring expert people. I mean, you stated it yourself. I'm not an expert. I know what the planning
well,
was.
Well, I never didn't say you weren't an expert.
Neither of us are. And
yeah,
you don't
I know
want
that.
To,
no,
you know, we're talking about contravening
to
planning laws. We will get the experts to decide.
Exactly, and I understand that. Now, there's a further meeting taking place. Or was
Thursday
that last night?
Thursday night, yeah.
Right, and you're so determined.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. We won't. Well, we will. We have the combats on. We're going to fight this to the bitter end. Okay. I mean, I'm one of these people. When I get my teeth into something, I will see it through. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
I can be very
stubborn
awkward.
On it. Okay. Tran, some would say.
Tran. I'm very Tran. Yeah. Good man. A good Derek Kenny.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Listen, Niall O'Donnell, chair of that group. Thanks for joining us and outlining your concerns, and we'll track the process here. As I say, I did. As best as I can, that we invited the developer on, I think we did, I presume we did we? Or we're at least in the process of doing so, but to try and put their side of things across to some extent as well. But as you say, people are determined, you're determined, Niall, and there's a long way to go on this. Thanks for calling up.
Thanks, Greg.
Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're speaking now to Andrea Redmond of Duhurry Development. Andrea, thanks for joining us. And like a lot of these conversations, I'll start by saying I wish we were talking in a different context, but unfortunately we aren't. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Greg. Lovely to hear from you. Yes, unfortunately, I'd love to be on here to talk about all the positive things that are happening in Duhurry, but circumstances require me to come on and talk about an incident that occurred within the last couple of days where Welcome to Duhurry sign, a stone that was erected by the previous committee who was run and chaired by the lovely Manus Elliott and his wife Mary, and wonderful people like Jim Caulfield, who run our village shop, and Brady Boner, was destroyed. At the minute, we are thinking it's an act of vandalism. The Garda's looking into it at the minute, and it comes in the background of a number of incidents of criminal damage. And it, as I said, it would be lovely to be on and talk about positive things, but one positive that we could take out of this is kind of the overwhelming support that we've received in social media. We're actually buoyed by, you know, the positive comments by people because we've worked really, really hard in the last 3 years. We're a new committee. You know, we're a small committee. And in the last few months, we've been kind of subjected to kind of a series of incidents. And all have been are kind of on the books of the Garda, and they're investigating. And we would really like it, the person or persons who are involved, to cease and desist. If they have issues, come speak to us directly.
Well, that's it, though, Andrew. But you see, you would struggle to find anyone's motivation for this most recent incident, or if it's the same people or persons responsible for the previous instance. What is achieved by it, other than attacking the good work of the community and sort of sowing negative seeds? It achieves nothing beyond that. Great inconvenience and disappointment as well, of course.
And costly, because the reasons. Yeah, prior to this, we had a sign at On the Marl, which was vandalised. You know, the sign cost over €700. Mm. And funding was provided by Donegal County Council, who've been very, very supportive. You see, this is the million-dollar question. You know, what is their motivation? You know, because literally it's not working, because if they think that we're going to go away as a committee, we're not going to back down to bullying. We, as I say, we have wonderful support in the community, and you just have to look at the social media. We've had two great county councillors who've been supporting us, Micheál Collum and Norrie McGarvey. We've had wonderful support from other councillors in the Glenties, and also council itself and Uteris and Pobo. You know, so their motivation is just questionable, because it's not, you know, why?
Yeah, exactly. That's the big question. And I think initially maybe it was thought that a car had struck it, which would have been annoying enough, because, you know, the person didn't report it, or maybe offer to repair it. But the feeling is now that this might have actually been someone might have taken a sledgehammer to it, which is a little bit more premeditated and worrying, I think, Andrea. I've lost you, Andrea, there, unfortunately.
Are you still here?
I have you, yeah. I was just saying, if it was... No, you're gone again.
I heard you. I just wanted to say the positive things that we should be talking about, you know, and Duhai is an absolutely beautiful village, mm-hmm. and the people in it are wonderful. And, you know, things like in the last 6 months, we've raised enough money to buy 2 defibrillators for the village, one that we actually gifted to the national school. You know, we've had a whole series of murals done. We've got heritage photographs. You know, the work that's been done, we have a men's shed that is creating some wonderful pieces for the village, who are comprised with some of our new residents or Ukrainian families. Last weekend, we had a spring cleanup, and it was so wonderful to see the Ukrainian families and their children and local families. There was the wee McDermott family that came out with twins and a 2-year-old child who went litter picking. You know, in the men's shed, were erecting things that they did, like bird tables. And, you know, so there's so much positivity and there's so many wonderful things. You know, people keep commenting. They're coming through the village and they can see the changes and they see how positive, you know, and uplifting it is. And to think that somebody thinks it's okay, you know, to do these things and to attack. Like, we've had fruit trees, for example, that have been destroyed, have been ripped out, you know. So it's, their motivation is seriously questionable.
So anyone with any information, bring it forward to An Garda Síochána Conor. Or if those who are responsible want to meet and have a conversation or something, whatever it takes to get to the bottom of this and end it, the sooner the better. And we'll speak again about the positives, Andrea, whenever you like, as it relates to what's going on in Duhai, because I think whilst it's important to highlight when, you know, we need some help to get 100%. To the bottom of something, I think it's also important too that we highlight the positives. And you've done a good job on that today. Thanks, Andrea.
Take care. You have a lovely weekend, Greg.
You too, Andrea. Take care. Andrea Redmond there, 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Okay, welcome back to the programme. Mary joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Mary. Thanks for taking the call today.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping, Mary?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Keeping very, very busy. Busy.
And I would say, heading into tonight, a special event in the halfway house in Burnfoot in memory of your husband, Kevin Little, who died last year. It must be just a whole washing machine full of different emotions swirling around there, Mary, is it?
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions, but I've got a good family behind me, loads of good friends, and I've got so much support. It's just unbelievable. And just getting tonight over will be a big hurdle, but I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's a good cause as well, what we're doing.
Yeah, tell us a bit about Kevin.
My husband?
He
loved life. Everybody loved Kevin. He was just a nice man, and he was very young at heart. He was 73 years of age when he died, but he didn't act like a 73-year-old.
Good, okay.
He was a mechanic. He had his own business for a while. He, you know, panel beater. He was well known in Derry, and then he was well known then in Donegal, Burnfoot area, when he met me.
You imported him, did you?
Well, no, I didn't actually import him, but we used to do a bit. We exported the weekend over the border.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Do a lot of visiting and entertaining in Donegal.
Yeah, and this time last year, you were away on holiday, and very sadly, Kevin passed away. And it's a very difficult time when it happens at home or close to home, but particularly when it's far away. And you were able to call on the services of the Kevin Bell Trust, which is just an amazing charity, to help with the logistical side of things in terms of, you know, repatriating someone, taking someone home. And with that in mind, tonight's event is to support the trust and, of course, to remember Kevin. And I'm sure there's a lot of people with a lot of stories that will be sharing them tonight as well.
Oh, yeah, I would say, no, we contacted Kevin Bell. Actually, it was a friend of mine contacted them first when they heard what happened. I'm big into Unison.
Okay, if we lost that line to Mary, hopefully it will come back, will it?
Kevin financially, Kevin Bell Memorial. But for the support and the information he gave us was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, at a very difficult time, isn't it? You know, and maybe, was it on reflection that you sort of realised that what would we have done without them, sort of a thing?
Yeah, on reflection, you know, they were so good. But I just thinking all the people, especially young people, like, are away and they don't think about the insurance and getting you back home again. Like my daughter Hannah now, she's back here at the moment, but she's out in Australia. You know, she's like a travelling nurse working out there. Look, you know, if anything happened to her or anything like that there, you know, you don't get the holiday insurance for that.
It's just
unbelievable how many people he's brought home altogether. It's 1,533 people to Ireland, the 33 counties of Ireland.
And I've spoken to them a couple of times in different places, in studio and I think out in London, and they're just so unassuming. You know, it's astonishing, through their own grief too, let's not forget. What they've achieved. So talk to me about tonight, because really why we're talking, Mary, it's a great opportunity for people to have a good night out in memory of your husband, but also too to help support the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust. So tell us about tonight. It's in the halfway house in Burnford.
The doors is opening at 7 o'clock and kick off at 8 o'clock. Mickey Doherty from Derry, who was a great guy for the charities and a wonderful entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the lead there tonight. He's going to be the commentator and keeping things going. We have Yvonne Holmes on first to do an hour or so. Then we've got Brecken on. And then we're finishing off. Then High Heels is going to play for a while. And then we're having a disco then. Mike Henry is going to be doing the disco for us. Him and my brother-in-law, Tony.
So it's going to be a cracking night, isn't it?
We have fantastic door prizes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do an in-house raffle as well on the night. So it's £10 for the ticket, and that gets you in the door, and it gets you into 15 draws for prizes. They're all £200 upwards and downwards. And none of the door prizes is under €100. And, you know, a value of €100. But we've got great support from local businesses, and it's on. Amazing how many people have rang me up and said, put them down or buy tickets.
Brilliant.
And just unbelievable.
Brilliant, great stuff.
And thanks to Lawrence and Arlene for hosting it for us tonight.
Excellent. And you want a full house? I mean, there are people that will have bought tickets that can't make it, but there's tickets available on the door.
And
you want to have a full house, and because it's going to be great crack as well. Kevin would have enjoyed the night, would he? Is he that fair?
Oh, Kevin would have loved it. He
middle of the dance floor.
Well, I don't know about being in the middle of the dance floor, but he would have been.
He'd have been in his element. Well, listen, Mary, have a lovely evening and have a lovely time remembering Kevin with your family and friends. And I'm sure there'll be lots of fun as well. And as you say, people can go along for a great night of entertainment. And also, as you mentioned, there's some cracking prizes to win. Yeah. So it's going to be...
They can pay at the door as well.
Excellent. That's the place to be. It's the halfway house, Burnfoot, tonight. That's just the way we're leaving. All right, Mary.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, Greg.
Okay, have a good
evening.
Bye-bye. Take care of yourself. Okay, Mary Little there. Get along if you want. As I say, it's a good night out there, no doubt about it, tonight in the halfway house in Burnfoot. It's in memory of her husband, Kevin, and also to raise money for the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, who helped with the logistics of returning Kevin home from holiday to his home. They're a great outfit. Just no doubt about that. Let's get through some of your comments here. And I want to just, I don't filter comments, but I know there's going to be certain people more motivated to text than others. So trying to get a good balance of where we're at here. Suzanne is a great speaker and speaking in layman's terms as her own experience. Fair play to her. A caller says, I've never heard such waffle from the senator. She conveniently forgot that it's policy for no consultation. All these do-gooders, why don't they take in the male refugees in their homes? She made many other claims that, as far as I can make out, she couldn't back up by facts. Well done, Greg, for putting some tough questions to her. Not that they were answered. That comes in from Caroline. Greg, sad to see some politicians have joined in with the popular call to keep Father Paddy Dunn in Kilmacrenan. I thought the days of the priest-politician alliance of scratch my back and I'll scratch yours were resigned to the dustbin of Ireland's grim past. I could be wrong, I hope so. My advice is that politicians should stay away, or at the very least take a back seat from tonight's vigil in Kilmacrenan, as their motives may be misconstrued, or maybe not. You know, I mean, I don't know which people you're talking about, because I'm not from the area, but these people presumably are from the area and live in the area and have families in the area and probably have a relationship like the rest of the congregation with Father Dunn. And I don't, I understand where you're coming from, but I personally wouldn't question their motivations because they're speaking on behalf of the community. Like, we've got no press releases in on it as such. Do you know what I mean? So it's not being treated like a story that might be by a politician. But as I say, I genuinely don't know exactly what you're referencing to, but that's just my gut feeling. Morning. Could a lot of the Ukrainians not go back now to their own country? More than three quarters of it's absolutely fine. Again, I understand where someone might be getting that information, but it's really... And then people might say, well, I don't trust the mainstream news. But listen to what's coming out of Russia, if that's a better way of doing it. Russia announced daily where in the country they target. They release maps. They let people know, for the most part, in terms of how many missiles they have struck. You know, have a look at that information and bring it all in, and then see if you still feel that most of it's fine. It's they're bombarding all different parts of Ukraine with missiles. And if it were me, and I'm trying to protect my sons, my 2.5-year-old, and a bomb hit Sligo, a bomb hit Derry, a bomb hit Cork, a bomb hit Kerry, would I sit in the middle of Letterkenny with my child saying, "Ah, sure, look at they're not bombing here"? No. I would probably pack up and try and take them somewhere safe. Maybe I'm a chicken, or maybe that makes me weak. I don't know. But if bombs were going off in all of those places, missiles were landing all of those places that I talk of, that water had been cut off, that electricity was intermittent, and I didn't know at what point what type of a bomb could drop on me and my family in Letterkenny, would I hang about? My gut tells me, if I'm going to be honest, and I try as best as I can to be honest, would I hang about? No. If it was only in Dublin that was being targeted exclusively, maybe you might roll the dice. But as I say, there's missiles striking cities all over Ukraine. Would I sit in a city that hadn't yet been bombed? They bombed the city of the Eurovision entrance for the first time and only time on the night of the Eurovision. But anyway, everyone has their own opinions, don't they?